which we were up to, which is very negeya in many areas, especially for yeshiva bacher, how to view yeshiva. I'm really going to be aiming on one point. The pasuk says, Yeshua Benun tells the Klal Yisrael that when you're traveling, basically to cross the Yarden, you'll see the Kohanim carry the Aron across. And he writes, let's go to the Psukim. He says like this, he says, Kirois, when you see Kirois Chemes Aron Bris Hashem Lekechem, Vakohanim, Halavim Noisim Oisei Atem Tisum Im Kremchem Valachtem Achro. Basically, the way Yeshua ben Nun told us to cross the Yarden was following the Aron. And you all know the Nais, we'll talk about it next week, the Kriyas HaYarden. Right now, I want to be aiming on one thing. Why is the emphasis to follow the Aron, number one? But more so, Yeshua ben Nun all of a sudden calls it Kehanim Alevim Noisim Oisei. We know in the Midbar, the Masa Aron was the B'nai Kohos, right? The Levim. They were the ones that carried Aron. So what happened over here? Why is it all of a sudden, why are we now calling it Kohanim Alevim? So it's a Machloikis Rishonim. Big Machloikis Rishonim. The Rambam Taka holds that the job changed. In the Midbar, the Levim were the Noisei Aron, and in Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah changed. Kahanim HaNoisei Aron. That's what the Rambam says. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvah says, Iker HaMitzvah Mutelas Al HaKohanim. The Rambam says here in the Sefer HaMitzvah, Mitzvah Lama Dalet. Sheyisu HaKohanim HaOron Al Kisveihim. Kishenir Tzalosis HaYisim Mimokom L'mokom. So the Rambam basically says, the job of carrying the Aron is a Kohen's job, not a Levi's job. That's the Shita Sarambam. He says, I, the Midbar, the Midbar was an outlier. He writes, Tafke, Peshaite, Bemidbar, Botzivri, Lilvim. And he even gives a cheshbon. He says, there weren't enough Kohanim. Think about it. How many Kohanim were there in the Midbar? Aaron was picked and his sons. They were Yechidim. They couldn't give them the job. So therefore, Zok there, Beglal Miut, Mispar, Kohanim, Bismanahu. Omnom, Ladeirois, Chayovim, Bemitzvah, Zu, Akohanim, Behem Yisu, Kamosh, Yisbayim. B'sefer Yeshua or b'sefer Shmuel. The bottom line is the Rambam holds that the mitzvah primarily is a mitzvah's kahuna, and only in the Midbar was it given to the Levim. Okay, so that's the Rambam sheet. The Ramban, over here in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, argues with the Rambam. Chas v'shalom that the mitzvah changed. The mitzvahs don't change. Cholila on uloymar, I'm quoting you the Lashon HaRamban. Cholinu loyin loymar that shenishtane that shum mitzvah batoyah. Can't be. So although the Ramban agrees with the Rambam that clearly there was a change, clearly in the Midbar the B'nai Kohos carried it, and clearly in Eretz Yisrael the Kohanim carried it. But that was just, that's what happened. But the Levim was still kosher. Says the Ramban, sheyish Cholila loymar that any mitzvah batar was nishtane. He says, Avada she levim nifsal masar on loyalim. Avul noymar ki akahanim alavim kulam ksherim b'masar. She kulam nikwarim levim. Anyway, so the Ramban's position is that levim were always kosher. Kohanim are kosher, levim are kosher, they were always kosher. And Grada, in Eretz Yisrael, this is what happened. But it's all the same. As I zokta, this is the aside of the Ramban. Now, what do we do with the Ramban's kash on the Rambam? How could a mitzvah change? So this is a fascinating briskerov. The briskerov says it didn't really change. He says it's a different mitzvah. There's something called a mishkan, and the din of the mishkan was entrusted to the Levim. If we take out the briskerov and chumash, it's also found in the end of the Griz. On the Rambam at the end, there's some mechtovim from the Briskerov. So he writes that there's two mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah, Nesias Klei HaMishkan, P'masois Pnei Yisrael, V'zeho Yerak P'midbar. And then there's a separate mitzvah, Nesias HaOren B'miyuchad. Once there's no Mishkan, there's a separate mitzvah carrying the Oren. That mitzvah carrying the Oren is a Kohen's mitzvah. So in the Midbar, where was the Mishkan was carried in totality, Nesias HaMishkan, that was on the Levium. When they got to Eretz Yisrael, and he already says, if you look in Dvarim, it already says, "Ba'ez ayi hivdol Hashem eshevet Levi." Losses and Bris Hashem lama ulsharsei. He says, "A mitzvah zu ain't a betela lo'elam." Loss it does. Anyway, that's the Bris Kerav. But anyway, I'm not being limited on this point as much as I want to bring out that whether you learn like the Rambam or you learn like the Ramban, one mitzvah, two mitzvahs, whatever it is. The fact is that in the Midbar, it was a Levi mitzvah. And at the very least, it was done by the Levim, even according to the Ramban. And then all of a sudden, we went into Eretz Yisrael, and the mitzvah changed. So what is the lekach? What's the lesson that was supposed to be learned from this inyan? Another thing, I'm going to tie this into what we're going to learn later in the next parak. Yeshua ben Nun seemed to perform a nes that was mamish unnecessary. So we'll go into the various limudim of that nes. They followed the Aaron. So right away there was a Kriyas HaYarden, right? And after the Kriyas HaYarden, Yeshua ben Nun tells Klal Yisrael to gather together between the Badei HaAaron. I don't know if you chap the magnitude of this nes. To my Gans Klal Yisrael. The Gans Klal Yisrael should put themselves between the Badei HaAaron. Now, how in the world do we understand that? There's no way to understand it. It was a Nes Goli that everybody should fit between the Badei HaAaron. Some one big guy could barely fit between the Badei HaAaron. Ganz klar, Yisrael. Ad Versteitzich was a Nes Nigle. But what was the point of the Nes Nigle? So we'll see all kinds of different angles how to explain it. I want to give you one beer that ties into this Yisrael. And this is something that's exclusively a message for Yeshiva Bacha, Ben Torah. I tell this a lot of times also to people when they get married, when I'm learning with a chosen. And we go through different halachas, sometimes some halachas that are negeh specifically to a chosen, some halachas about how to run the house. So I always tell the chosen, don't make plans for later. Don't make plans. L'moshel. You want to have a certain sneeze in your home? So a lot of times the Chos and Kala feel, okay, it's just the two of us. We don't have a home yet. It's the Chos and Kala. It's Chos and Kala, so the whole house is one big bedroom. How you dress, how you walk around, how you act, it's a bedroom. It's only two people in the house, there's no kids. Right? I always tell them, whatever you envision your home should look like in 10 years from now, start your home like that. And every nekuda, you want what your diktuk and kashrus is going to be. Don't make plans later. Yeah, we'll ease in Chol of Yisrael. We'll ease it in later. No, whatever you want in your home, start now. And I tell them why. Your starkest time is by the haschala. That's the tev of a person. You're inspired. Number one, you're inspired when you start something. You're inspired when you start a bayis chodesh. It's an inspiration. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that's how he learns the whole din of Shana Rishana, is really your whole life. He says, what is it? Mitzvah to be mesamech your wife is 1 year? Your whole life you have a chiv to mesamech your wife. Shlomo Zalman says the first year is to be miyased all the years. So it's foundational. It's not that there's different halachas, but the first year is there as a foundational year for all the years. Right? Because Lamaisa, most people don't talk to their wife nicer when they're married for 10 years than the first day they get married. Right? Fakert. You know how much time I spend with Hassanim? That they're worried, they said something, they sent a text, maybe the wrong message, maybe she'll tell. I say, Mi yitein v'hoyo levavum zeh kol ayom. Very few husbands send a text to their wife and go afterwards and go, I wonder if she was hurt by that. Right? Schmeiger. That guy's a chosn, he's being shekel b'mishkel. Because you're inspired at that time. You're inspired in the relationship. You're excited about the relationship. You want to present yourself in a certain life. And the haschola, the beginning, is the miyaset. It establishes something. Okay, if a guy is in yeshiva and he thinks that his days in yeshiva are just prep, and he's just slowly breaking his way into Yiddishkeit, he's making a tremendous mistake. How you daven now is how you're going to daven in 20 years from now. And if anything, it could chill down a little bit. If you're walking around outside now because you can't find yourself to spend 35 minutes in the room or 40 minutes to daven, it's too much. You're going to beat a balabas outside, chas v'shalom, who can't sit in shul either. Because yeshiva is when you miyased yourself. It's foundational. You're establishing who you are. So whenever you think about yeshiva, you should always look at it like, this is an investment in my future. This is an investment in my future. If I battle in Beis Medrash now, I'm going to be the guy who battles when I'm a balabas. In all likelihood, doesn't mean you can't change. Of course you could change. Everybody could change. But if you want to know normal course of events is that when guys leave yeshiva, the davening doesn't all of a sudden get to higher madrega. When they leave yeshiva, the learning doesn't go to higher madrega. If anything, it's fakert. It's fakert. If you establish yourself well at the beginning, you have a shot. You have a shot. And every single chosn, kemah, told me that it's true. Afterwards. Whatever they want, makabul miyad, 20 times harder to try to implement it later. What's the chil between the Kahanim and the Levim? The Kahanim, it's one shevet. You all remember from Maseches Tomim. Kahanim nikru Levim. Right? Choftal Mekoymes nikru Kahanim Levim. Kahanim are Levim. But Kahanim have a different mission. Kahanim's mission is a shtickle different than a Levi. A Levi is a Kanoi. A Levi's job is to be a Kanoi. After the Chet Egel, Mila Hashem Eilai. Can't shave it Levi, right? Kol b'nei Levi. Levi's job is kanoyas. The Kohen, the Kohanim, when they were separated from shevet, from the rest of the shevet, their job is to be melamed sanguria al Yisrael. Their job is to bring shalom, compromise for shalom. That's the job of a Kohen. A Kohen is a much softer tone than a Levi. A Levi is uncompromising. Memela, when the Torah was given to us, and actually, Chazal say, why was the Torah given in the Midbar? Why did Abish to give a Torah in the Midbar? So Chazal say, Kidei sheyivla ha-Torah ba'atzmo yisehem. Mom, it's the same thing I'm telling you now. The Midbar was like yeshiva days. The Midbar was there that the Torah, if the Abish would have given us the Torah in the middle of the city, so the Torah would have never gotten absorbed into our kishkis. The Abish wanted to let the Torah get absorbed in our kishkis. Then when we leave that haven of the Midbar, we establish the Torah enough in ourselves that it's going to stay with us. That was the purpose of the Midbar. In the Tkufas HaMidbar, there's no room for compromise. There's no room for compromise. That's when you have to, with rigidity, accept that Mamish uncompromising on any level. Memela, the Noisei HaOren were the Levim. The Noisei HaOren at that point were the Levim. Once we got it, once the Torah was Nivla Batsmi Seinu, then the Kahanim were Noisei HaOren. But up until that point, the Levim were actually the Noisei HaOren for that reason. And that's talking to the cloud. If you look at Rashi in last week's parasha, unbelievable Rashi. Shimon V'Levi Achim, Klei Chomus Mechariseim, Besedim Hal Tovei Nafshi, right? Or Apam Kioz, Achalkim B'Yakri V'Afitzim B'Yisroel. Pashtus, when you read the pasuk, it sounds like a negative thing. Or apom, their anger should be cursed. Ki oz, achal kim biyankiv afitzim biyisrael. What's up to Rashi? Tell him, remember what Rashi says. Achal kim biyankiv afitzim biyisrael, says Rashi, I'm going to make from them melamdei tinekes. Some of them melamdei tinekes. What pshat in that? The pshat is that Shimon V'Levi, when they went ahead and they killed out Gan Shechem, there were two characteristics that came out of them that's required for every mechanech. Right? Obviously, you're not supposed to kill your Talmidim. Right? But there are two characteristics that came out from there. Number one, Rashi says, it says, Shimon Velevi took Ish Harba. It says, Shimon Velevi Achei Dina. Zokter Rebbe Rashi. Why are they called Achei Dina? Lefi Shemosru Nafshan Aleho. Because Shimon Velevi were Moisa Nefesh, they put their lives on the line for Dina, Nikru Achel. I often say Lagabi Bar Mitzvah Bocha, one of the Makaris of Bar Mitzvah Bocha, you know, the Rosh learns it's Halacha Moshe Misinai, that age 13 you become Bar Mitzvah. Rashi and Ovis and Pirkei Ovis on the Mishnah Ben Shloi Shasrei LeMitzvahs. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, how do we know 13? From Shimon Velevi. Because it calls them Ish. When they killed out Shechem, it calls them Ish. And they were 13. From there we learn out that the din Ish is chal when you're 13. So what's the shtickle mind-boggling here? You learn godless from a mice that Yaakov Avinu mustered them out? A charta maisi. Yaakov Avinu gives them musel. That's where we learn out godless? What's going on here? You remember, Rambez, remember the Shiloh we once had? That why is every bar mitzvah called a godel? Anybody remember that? Why is every bar mitzvah called a godel? He's a godel, he's 13 years old. See, I call him godel here, he's a godel. You could say he's mevugar. Call him a nar. Like you call a girl when she becomes bar mitzvah, a nara. A godel? Vazokster Rabbi Gottlieb. Every bar mitzvah of 13, he's a godel? You say, yeah?
Technically speaking, yes.
No, I would say, technically speaking, no. He's not a god. It's chayv mitzvahs. I know, that's I'm asking why. So you're just saying, we call him a god. I'm saying, why?
Good question.
So I gave a pshat, Rabbi Isai. Shabbos HaGodl is called Shabbos HaGodl. Vosok Rav Shach. Rav Shach has a beautiful pshat. Why is Shabbos, remember that? You remember that? Why is Shabbos HaGodl called Godl? Shabbos HaGodl. There's a lot of this. Umpteen pshat. Rav Shach had a gevaldik achap. He said, we know that Godl represents the mid of giving. The Gemara says in Pesachim, why is Noisin Lechem L'chol Basar, that hoidu, why is that called Hal HaGodl? Because it says Noisin Lechem L'chol Basar. Why was the Blessed called Hal HaGodl? Chesed. There's one woman in Tanakh called Gedoyla. Do you remember? Which lady in Tanakh is called Gedoyla? Isha Shunamis. You remember that? There's an Isha Gedoyla name. Yeah. So what is the Medrash, what does the Yalkut Shemaini say on Isha Gedoyla? Today if you call Isha Gedoyla, she'll give you a throw out of the house. No Isha wants to be called Isha Gedoyla. But over there it's a compliment. You hear, never tell your wife Isha Gedoyla. Yeah? Even if she's 9 months pregnant, you have to say you're Ketana. I not, it's a kasha, but you're still Ketana. Carrying small as a Vimizok. Yeah? Vozok da Azariah, you remember? The Yalkut Shemani says, Mnei Shah, it's a Oysa Gemilus Chasadim. She built a room for the Navi, she took the Navi into her home. So Gogodl means, what does it say by Moshe Rabbeinu when he went out to help Klal Yisrael? Vayigdal Moshe, Vayetzeyolach. You'll follow what you'll see. It's always called Gogodl. That's the difference between Rom and Godel. Right? Rom is just high, and Godel is somebody that's connected. So every bar mitzvah bachar, till he turns 13, the Gemara says in Sukkot Daf Mem Vav, you shouldn't be makna yululuv to a cotton. Why? Gottlieb. Why?
You can't give it back.
Huh? I was looking there. Because he can't give it back. Because he can't give it back. A cotton can only be koine, it can't be makna. You could give him something, he can't give it back to you. Memela does have cotton. The day that he turns 13 and he could give somebody something, oh, he's a godl. Now he could be makna something to somebody else. Now he goes from being small to being big. He helped. You remember that, Mustana? Now, I'm afraid. So now we understand why when we want to learn Bar Mitzvah, we learn it from Shimon Velevi, because Shimon Velevi They had the midah of Masu Nafshav Aleha. They gave their life for their sister. That's what we learn Gabbis. That's the Mokar of Gabbis. But my question is, why Malamde Tinoikis? The pshat is, because Shimon Velevi in this action showed two characteristics. One is the ability to taka give, to be devoted. And every Rebbe has to be completely dedicated. Dedicated to his Talmidim. Masu Nafshav Aleha. That's what a Rebbe needs to be. And the other thing is, they showed a non-compromising. You can't have a kurtz in Klal Yisrael. And every Rebbe has to know, when he's mechanech a Talmud, he's preparing him for life. He has to teach him that he has to have that uncompromising midah when it comes to his Yiddishkeit. That there's no. That's the midah of Levi. And that could explain to us why the job of the Nesias HaOren, when the Torah was first given to Klal Yisrael, had to be by Levium to reflect this midah of uncompromising. That there has to be uncompromising. Okay, we still have to leave earlier today, so we'll stop here. We'll get next week into why the Badei Aron. We'll tie this up into the Badei Aron.